Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Our world loves winners, champions, and victory celebrations, don't we? You know the feeling, I'm sure. You've had a victory of some type in your life, and you feel great, perhaps a little invincible, at least for a few moments. Maybe you treat yourself to something special as a reward for your accomplishment. I can only imagine how euphoric old Elijah must have felt after that almost indescribable showdown on Mount Carmel, and God sending fire from heaven to burn up his sacrifice, and thousands of people declaring the Lord to be their God and repenting of their spiritual rebellion. And then, of course, what euphoria Elijah must have felt as the sky grew dark and it started raining after a 3-year drought. I left you yesterday watching old Elijah bent over trying to catch his breath after a 30-mile run and actually outrunning King Ahab in his chariot. 1 Kings 18. As Elijah finally caught his breath and looked around, he found himself standing in the town of Jezreel and perhaps even looking at the regional palace of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. I'm sure it did not take Elijah more than a few moments to realize this was not the place for him to celebrate all he had experienced with God over the past few hours, and Elijah started heading out of town. Meanwhile, King Ahab had quite a story to tell his wife, Queen Jezebel, and while we have no record of exactly what he said, Jezebel went into a frenzy of rage, according to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. Jezebel sent a messenger running to find Elijah with the message that he was going to be a dead man within 24 hours. Now, I wonder what you would have done if you were old Elijah. Have you ever found yourself actually having an emotional meltdown while at the same time you are euphorically celebrating a great victory? That's what happened to Elijah. And the record tells us Elijah ran for his life. Now, friends, Elijah didn't just run out of town. Elijah ran south, all the way to the town of Beersheba. And from Jezreel, that's almost 120 miles. While the first run from Mount Carmel to Jezreel was a Holy Spirit-empowered run, actually outrunning King Ahab in his chariot, I think this was a fear-induced adrenaline run. I'm sure Elijah didn't actually run without stopping for over 100 miles, but I'm equally confident his fear propelled him with much greater endurance than he would normally have had. How do I know Elijah was afraid? Because the record tells us this. Elijah left his servant in Beersheba while he walked a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom tree and sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. He said, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then Elijah lay down under the tree and fell asleep. 1 Kings 19. That's more than just fear, isn't it, my friends? That sounds like discouragement, maybe even depression. Now I ask you, how does a man of God like Elijah go from the mountaintop experiences with God on Mount Carmel to running for his life in response to a threatening message from Queen Jezebel, and all the way to asking God to end his life there under a tree in the wilderness? And all this within hours or a day or two at most. Now, don't rush past that question, my friends. Let's wrestle with it and personalize it. When have you found yourself on the emotional roller coaster from high euphoria to low desperation? And what lessons have you learned on that emotional roller coaster about yourself and about the power of God available to you? Did you know this is not the first time a great man of God, a biblical hero, found themselves on this emotional roller coaster and asked God to end their life in their time of great discouragement? Moses found himself there when surrounded by ungrateful, grumbling, angry Israelites, and you'll find that in Numbers chapter 11. But please take note of this. In both cases, God responded personally and powerfully. God gave Moses instructions to gather 70 trusted leaders of the Israelites to help him carry the burden of leadership. For Elijah, God sent an angel to nourish and encourage him, not once, but twice. 1 Kings 19. The first visit was brief, with simple instructions from the angel to exhausted Elijah, "Get up and eat." And when Elijah got up, he found food and water available to him, so he ate and lay back down and went to sleep. I guess I can't blame him. I get tired driving 120 miles. A second time, this angel awakened Elijah, this time with both nourishment and instructions. The record says, "Then the angel of the Lord came a second time and awakened Elijah. Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." 1 Kings 19, verse 7. Oh my, do you see two important things here, my friends? This is no ordinary angel. This is the angel of the Lord. And many Bible scholars believe that phrase identifies an Old Testament appearance of Jesus, God the Son. Secondly, do you see God had a specific journey ahead for Elijah? And since there's no further instructions in the record, I presume the Holy Spirit gave to Elijah a strong leading that he must travel south from Beersheba into the wilderness all the way to Mount Horeb, also known as Sinai. Now, since we don't know exactly where Mount Sinai is located, this could have been another trip of over 100 miles. But this time, there is no well-traveled road, no frequent and comfortable inn along the way for refreshment. This is hot, windy, sand-blown, cactus desert. This is also no longer about fleeing from Jezebel. This is now approaching God. Elijah knew very well all that Moses had experienced on Sinai during his 8 trips up Mount Sinai to meet with God. And now I can imagine anxiety and great anticipation grew with each passing mile as old Elijah approached Mount Horeb, Sinai. Let's walk along with this great man of God. Let's replay in our minds all that Elijah has experienced with God since first announcing there would be a drought 3 years ago, as recorded in 1 Kings 17 and 18. Let's consider how God has shown himself powerful and personal, and let's look into our journey, our relationships, our economics, as we consider preparing to meet with God and Elijah on Mount Sinai tomorrow. And here's a special song I found to help us consider God's majesty.